Hey, anybody want to be successful?
Sure.
And yet, while it's not a secret, we're not taught the effective rules. And the rules are largely spiritual ones. They're metaphysical rules. We don't seem to get this information at the appropriate age so that it really sinks into our bones and we grow up with it. We seem to get some story that really doesn't much apply to anybody, especially anymore. And so we spend much of our adult life unlearning, as Emerson said, the ways of the world, so that we might figure out, how do I live in an effective and gracious and healthy and successful way? And we find that it is really quite simple. It is, as I was speaking with someone this morning before service, the work is 24/7, but it's very, very simple. Some of the rules that we grew up with, the ones that we have found are no longer applicable or do not apply, and maybe they never did, were the things that we used to call the American dream, that, you know, if you worked hard and you played fair, then you would get something. You get a house and a car and a Maytag washer dryer that could be placed side by side or stacked. If you were really lucky, a fur coat from Dicker and Dicker of Beverly Hills. But that isn't the way life really works. Because what does hard work really mean? Most of us don't take time to think about what that really means. And what does playing fair mean? Well, we're here to talk about these things. We're here to talk about the three simple steps for the very last time here from the platform, this book that was so inspiring to me that I based most of the summer talks on. Three simple steps toward leading an effective and meaningful life, which means the one of your choice. The three simple steps, each of which have some component to them, but the basic simple steps are wake up. Wake up to the reality of the world. Wake up to the situation that we have bought into. Continue to grow in self-awareness so you can see that we are living out, by and large, somebody else's idea of life or hard work or fairness or expectation. And realize that most of us, all of us really, are living in a trance. That's the Dalai Lama's teaching, and I'll subscribe to that. That the great work is to wake up at long last and to start thinking for ourselves. That's the second step. Master your mentality. When Cynthia gave the in-service treatment, that is what she spoke about. Deliberate thinking. Master your mentality. It's good work. Be aware of what you're thinking and limit, if we cannot limit the information that comes upon us that is not helpful, at least we can direct our reaction to it. We do not have to think about it. We do not have to worry about it. But we need to stay focused on what it is we seek to experience in this lifetime and forsaking all else, letting all other preoccupations go. Which is hard, because there's always something to worry about. There's something very colorful or very scary or very worrisome or very glamorous to focus on, none of which usually has anything to do with advancing the cause of your individuation, of your coming to full flower, so that you might experience life for yourself. First step, wake up. Second step, master your mentality. Third step, of which there are several components, is set an intention and go for it. Set an intention. And have everything that you do and think and say to the extent possible. Be focused on achieving that in a timely fashion. There are all kinds of books that you can read, hundreds of books about choosing goals and setting intentions, and they're all good. They're all good for what they are, but none of them are of any use unless we apply. Unless we actually decide, you know, today is the day that I am setting an intention, something that I absolutely intend to experience. You can say sooner or later, in old school church, we would say in the fullness of time. But sooner is better than later. Why not now? Why not now? Three simple steps. I didn't learn this stuff in kindergarten. It would have been a head start if I had. I'm thinking. But I learned it now. And as I've worked my way through this text this summer, I've had two remarkable demonstrations. And no, I didn't win the Powerball. Yeah, together. Oh. But I guess I don't need to. It's not the most important thing on my mind. But the things that were most important on my mind, the demonstrations I was seeking, have come to pass. And I start a brand new season, autumn, satisfied, demonstrating yet again, or experiencing yet again, that yes, what I give my attention to flourishes. And we don't even need to say the opposite of that. Because that's the way life is. It just happens. Unfocused life, misdirection, haphazardness, moderately okay health rather than vitality, that stuff just happens if we don't give any attention to it. And we're pretty blessed as it is. But I experienced all over again that yes, what I give my attention to will come to pass. And I'm pretty happy that it happened so quickly. You know, within 90 days, that's great. That's great. You know, I may not have learned this in kindergarten, you may not have learned this in kindergarten, but the one way we have gotten this information is through the most important spiritual experience that one can have, which is in the Wizard of Oz, which is 75 years old this week. And just as a sidebar, I'd like you to know that I too have flying monkeys, and I'm not afraid to use them. So I'm talking to you. Be warned. All these simple steps are laid out clearly in The Wizard of Oz. And would that be the text and the metaphysics that we take seriously? But it's all laid out there. It's clear as a bell. Something happens in Dorothy's life. Something happens in all of our lives, right? Something that she wasn't planned for, something that she wasn't ready for, something that she didn't seek to have a tornado uproot her experience, and yet it did. But right off the bat, she winds up in Munchkin Land, which is very colorful. But when Glinda, the good witch, her higher self, says, "What do you want?" She says, "I want to go home." Bang. She could have spent 12 years being mesmerized by how beautiful and technicolor Munchkin Land is. That would be in the trance. This is obviously funner than a dusty Depression-era farm in Kansas. Maybe I'll stay here for a decade or so. See if it works out for me here. But right away, she declares what she wants. She goes for it. She follows the yellow brick road. There are a couple of things. Maybe there are a couple of false starts, thinking that the wizard can do it for her, but that's okay. Right off the bat, she knows what she wants. She does what she needs to do to master her own mentality. She stays focused on that task exclusively, even though she does encounter things that help her on the way and things that hinder her on the way. She is focused on one goal. Somehow, and this is what we know, that this is why this is more than merely good coaching, but it includes a spiritual element. Even the Wicked Witch at some point says, curses, someone is always helping her. Call it what? Spirit, if you will. But that is a reality. That is a reality. And she learns that this original choice wasn't going to make it happen, and she had to jump through another hoop, but focused on the one particular goal. She does it anyway. She gets what she wants. She comes home having gotten what she wanted and being transformed. See, because this is the point. Transformation is always the point. With everything we do, with every project that we undertake, with every art project, with every relationship, with every aspiration, with every book that we might read, transformation is the goal. The stuff that we get, that we accumulate along the way, is the fun part of being in a manifest world. But continuing to grow in awareness of the way things really work, continuing to be more dramatically and expansively aware of, if I do this, then I can expect that. And to the degree the kingdom of God is within, to the degree that we become aware of it, we will experience it. Every act of transformation allows us to be less resistant and more aware of the way things really are, that this kingdom of heaven is a current reality. And the more that we stay with it, the happier we'll be. And we will have everything we need so that our intentions will be realized. We don't merely stop with the getting everything I want, because that's not really the point. The point is to enjoy getting the things that help us be who we are and live big lives in the world. Big lives. The great piece that Marianne Williamson wrote is that playing small does not help. It doesn't bless you. It doesn't bless anybody. It doesn't add up to bupkis. Play big. Ask for more. That's what I'm working on for myself right now. Be more. Why? Because that's what you're here for. To have a fully human experience, which is wildly diverse. We've got five senses. All of them should be delighted all the time, as long as we're here and in these bodies of ours. And we have relationships and ideas and activities and amazing things to be enthralled by and great power to give of ourselves too. Because there are things that are required in the world. And every one of them, every one of these things, you might be the answer to it. And the very end of this particular book, and as it happened, because these things happen all the time, without planning, because I started this series 3 months ago, but the very last section is called Tools for Wizards. And here we are on the anniversary of The Wizard of Oz. But you know, the tools for wizards, quite simply, are the willingness to be disciplined, the willingness to be self-interested. How about that? And the willingness to be unflappable. These are things to be mastered as we go through life. What do they mean? What does it mean to be disciplined? To live your life as if it was a discipline, as if it were an art form, which is the idea, the metaphor that I prefer, because discipline has some very medieval overtones to it, I think. But if we look at our lives, the livingness that you are, as an art form, and you commit to showing up in the studio that is your life every single day with an intention to create, that is real discipline. And what does he mean by being self-interested? Well, I remember the first time I heard this idea, Dr. Walker would talk about it. The metaphor being, if you are on an airplane and you experience a loss in cabin pressure, please make sure that you put the oxygen mask on yourself first. Because, you know, if your life isn't working, are you really going to be helpful to anybody else? That's a rhetorical question. I can answer it for myself. In the times when my life wasn't working at all, I wasn't any good to help anybody else achieve anything. So it's a responsibility to be with it, to be in your game first. And then you can be of service to the world. And lastly, to be unflappable. That's his word. The expression I prefer is to be, not devil may care, because that sounds like you don't care. But to be nonchalant in the face of the impossible. Looking at some obstacle and going, yeah, that's what I do. I can work with this. This is who I am. This is what I do. I've spent the summer looking at this text. I have had two significant demonstrations, and I can tell you what I'm doing again is I'm going to start back on page one tomorrow. And I will spend the next 2 weeks, and I am going to choose yet another intention, and a big one that I expect to see manifested, that I intend to experience this year. The guidance in the book tells us to keep your mouth shut. You don't have to share it with everybody, but you do want to share it with your higher power or your prayer partner or your practitioner, whatever the word is, because ironically enough, all the things that are spoken of in this particular book really are about treatment. In the last analysis, every single step of these three steps is about treatment. Now I'm going to be talking more about practitioners and treatment probably in October, because I really want to make sure that every one of us understands the basis of our work here is treatment, is affirmative prayer. And if you are not asking for prayer support, for treatment work, you're denying yourself the only unique tool or experience that can happen here. Do not be, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Do not be diverted by talks that might be interesting and music that is always ravishing. Do not be diverted. Having an experience is very, very important as community. But there's only one thing that really matters, and that's you. And you're moving forward and onward in your life, willing to be transformed with intention. That is why we are here. This is why I am here. This is why practitioners take on their work. I support you wholeheartedly in any endeavor that you may have. And I beg you, I'll say it once more, I beg you to create an intention on this day to experience life in a big, meaningful, healthy, purposeful, and plentiful way. If you are not moved to do that, then this work is for naught, and I will not buy that. I don't accept that. I know how important this is, and I know how important your ultimate success and grateful experience of life is. I don't have anything more to say. I think the topic is exhausted for today, But make sure you ask for treatment. Do not be shy. It gets you nowhere. God bless you, friends. I appreciate you.